Today's shir is Masechta Ksuvos Daf Samach Ches. We will begin on Daf Samach Zayin Amud Beis, 9 lines from the bottom, the last word. It says the Gemara, Marukva Hava Anye Bishvuvosei. Marukva had a poor person in his neighborhood. Davaroglish Durle Abba Meizuz Kamala Yom Dikpura. Every Erev Yom Kippur, he would send him 400 zuz. Farshim explained, why did he send it to him Erev Yom Kippur? They explain because Erev Yom Kippur is a day right before Yom Kippur. We need Tzchusim. So one of the Tzchusim is that we give Tzedakah. In fact, I saw Sfarim that indicate that there were people that used to save up money a whole year just to have money to give for Tzedakah on Erev Yom Kippur because of the great Tzchus of giving Tzedakah. Another Pshat, the Marsha says, a simpler Pshat. We know that Erev Yom Kippur is supposed to eat. So he had these poor people who he was concerned to not have what to eat, so he made sure that they should have funds to buy food and drink on Erev Yom Kippur. Mashal goes on to say, what is the significance of 400 zuz? So he says, we know that tough, the letter tough is 400. Tough stands for tichya, and tough stands for tumas. On Yom Kippur, you know, mi yichya, umi yomus, so he gave the 400 that we should be zaych the tichya. Yom Echad, Shedrinin Nahele Biyad Berei. He sent the money to this poor person with his son. Also, Amalei Lo Tzarech. So son came home and said, he doesn't need the money. Amamai Chazos, what did you see that leads you to say that? He said, Chazoi, the Kamazalfal Yayin Yoshin. We know that in their times, the houses, the floor were made out of dust. And in order that dust shouldn't rise and make the whole house dusty, they used to pour liquid on the floor. He says in his house, they live in such a extravagance that they use expensive wine to keep the dust down. Omer, Mefanki Kulahai, the person who lives in such a high standard of living, Afinavish Shadrinan Nile, who he sent double the money. 400 zuz is not enough. So the Mefarshim point out, we've learned that the amount of money a person's supposed to have that he shouldn't be able to collect from tzedakah is 200 zuz. Once somebody has 200 zuz, he's not entitled to collect tzedakah. So here, this individual already had 400 zuz. Once he had 400 zuz, how could you give him more tzedakah? So one teretz is that, based on what we've been learning for the last 2 days, yes, generally 200 zuz is the threshold, is the criteria. But we see that there's a person who needs more, we give him what he needs. This is what this individual needed. That's one teretz. Another teretz is, when Chazal tell us throughout Shas that the criteria is 200 zuz, that's when we collect, when the stock of fund of the community, what are they obligated to give? So if a person comes and he has already 200 zuz, the stock of fund doesn't give. But let's say we'll have I as an individual know of another individual who needs, even if he needs more than that, I have the obligation to give. Another teretz that the Mashal suggests is that he had already spent the money, so he didn't have he didn't have 200 zuz anymore. Kinoch nafshe, when Marukva was about to pass away, Ama isali chushbonei detztaka, please bring to me the calculations. He kept a ledger of all the tzedakah that he gave in his life. Ashkech davek sibei, and he found that it's written there, shivas alfei dianri sanki, that over his lifetime he had given out 7,000 dinar sianki. Sianki was a very good currency, which was a tremendous amount of money. Omar, but he still said, zavdei kalili, I have very little prepared, for urchek rechikta, and I have a long trip to travel. So he gave away half of his money as a schus as he comes to the Olam HaEmes. Asked the Gemara, Hechi Avad Hachi, how was he allowed to give away all this money? V'amar Beloi Be'usha Skinu. We learned this Gemara. Hamavazbez Ali Vazbez Yosef Mechaimish. You're not supposed to give away more than 20%. Answers the Gemara, Hani Mili Michayim. When did Chazal tell us not to give away more than 20%? That's while a person's alive. Because there's a concern that if a person's going to give away so much money for charity, Shema Yerid Min Chosov, he may end up with no nothing to sustain himself. Av lachamisa. After the person is anyway not going to be here, so he doesn't need anything. Less lamba. So I saw a very beautiful vart from the Gaon Yaakov. The Gaon Yaakov says, the Gemara says, B'usha eskinu, that in Usha they established this rule, don't give away more than 20%. Why strictly in Usha? So he explains that we know what is Usha, that after the Sanhedrin went into Golis, they left the Lishkas Agazis, when the Churban was coming, they went to Usha. So he explains, as long as Klal Yisrael was in Eretz Yisrael with the Beis HaMikdash, there was a hashpa, then no one will ever be put into a situation that he doesn't have what to live on. And therefore, a person can give more than 20% to tzedakah. What are we concerned that he's not going to be left with any means to sustain himself? It'll never happen. But once they were ready after the Churban, so the hashpa on Klal Yisrael became weaker, so now we have a real concern that somebody could be left with nothing, and therefore don't give away more than 20%. Says the Gemara, Rav Abba Havatzai Zuzu B'Sidrei. Rav Abba, as we described yesterday, as we said yesterday, the Rambam tells us that a very high madrega in giving tzedakah is matan b'seiser. So says the Gemara, Rav Abba Havatzai Zuzu B'Sidrei. He used to put money in his kerchief. They used to wear like a kafiyah. And put it in the back of his head, and like that he would have the poor people be able to take the money out of his kerchief that was behind his head. So the poor people should not he shouldn't see who's taking it, but he used to turn around to make sure that somebody who didn't deserve it would not take it. So the Ram Shiv says a very nice explanation of this Gemara. Did he turn around? Didn't he turn around? So he says, very nice pshat. He didn't really turn around and see who took. He just used to look, people who took thought that he was turning around, but he really wasn't turning around. So the ani who deserves it took. But the person who didn't deserve it, the phony, is scared that he's really turning around, and that's why he didn't take. Says the Gemara, Rav Chanina have Anya. Rav Chanina had this poor person. He would send him 4 zuz every Friday. One Friday afternoon, he sent it with his wife. She comes back and she tells him he doesn't need this money. Says the Gemara, my chosis. So she asked him, what did you see that convinces you that he doesn't need this funding? Says the Gemara, the Karmelay, I asked him, I saw the table set for Shabbos, and asked what kind of tablecloth did they use? Betli kesav, betli zov. Either he had a tablecloth made out of silver thread or gold thread. So I saw that he's not deserving. So Mefarshim asked an obvious question, Rishonim, Tosfos already. Our Gemara has been telling us that we have to support somebody, even if he's accustomed to a high standard of living. So this Ani had a high standard, so we have to support that standard. Why is he convinced that this person is a phony? So Shita explains, as we said yesterday in the name of the Shita, that we only have to support somebody with a high standard if he was born into a family with that standard, so he's accustomed to it. But if a person brought upon himself that high standard, and then he can't sustain it, why did you do it, that we should have to support it? But Taisus says a different terrors. Taisus says, even in a high standard, there are limits. To have a tablecloth made out of gold, that's beyond any reasonable standard, and therefore, he didn't support it. And he said furthermore, I'm a hainah the Amr Belozer, we have to now really thank those people who are dishonest. If not for these people, we would be doing averus. The pasuk tells us that the ani will cry to Hashem and complain that we're not taking care of him. And we will have a sin that we ignored him. But now we have an excuse. Why did we ignore him? Because there are dishonest people. So first of all, the Meiri says, we have to assume that everybody's honest. The only time we have to treat a person as dishonest is that we have really reason to believe he's dishonest. But the Mefarshim ask, the Iyun Yaakov asked, that the Gemara really hasn't answered its question. If there's going to be an Ani who's really deserving, and we're not giving him because we're concerned that he's not honest, and we were wrong in not giving him, so we'll have the Averis. What is the answer? Because there's somebody else that's dishonest. So the Iyun Yaakov says a very nice pshat. The Iyun Yaakov says that normally, if a poor person would come to me, come to us, and ask us for tzedakah, and we don't give him tzedakah, so he'll cry to Hashem, and we have an Avera. However, says the Iyun Yaakov, now the Ani, when he doesn't get a donation, doesn't cry. Why doesn't he cry? Because he knows that the person who didn't give it to him wasn't because he didn't want to help, because he's concerned that he's not honest. And therefore, the Ani will not cry, and the people who didn't give won't be in trouble. But then the Mefarshim ask, so you could say this about every mitzvah. You could always be concerned that there's maybe a reason not to do the mitzvah. And we'll always have an excuse not to do the mitzvah. So the Mefarshim explained, the Pnei Yeshua says, there's no question that a person has to give tzedakah. A person doesn't have an excuse not to give tzedakah. The only issue here, says the Pnei Yeshua, is that as we've been learning, Al Gemara is not just talking about Hilchas Tzedakah. Al Gemara is speaking about Dei Machsoiroi, that we have to give the person everything he needs. To have to not give everything that the person needs, that we have this as an excuse. But to give the person a minimal donation, we don't have an excuse of Nei HaRamah. Actually, Mefarshim go on to say that this concept of Nei Ramon is the factor in a very fundamental Machloikus Rishonim. There's Machloikus Rambam and Rabbeinu Yehuda HaChassid. Let's say there, we could probably relate to this. Let's say there are a lot of causes to give to. What is better, to give a little to every cause, or to take the causes that we consider serious and worthy causes and give them a significant donation, and the other causes not give to? The Rambam says it's better to give a little to everybody. He actually said that's pshat, what it says in Pirkei Avos, v'hakol lefi roiv ha-maisa. Doing a lot of action of mitzvah, a lot of different acts of mitzvah, is what's supposed to be done. Ben Yudah Chassid says, no, give nicer donations, even if you're not going to give everyone. What is the machloikis of Nei Ramon? Everybody agrees that there are a level of people and causes that collect that are maybe not that worthy. The Rambam says, give everybody. If you're going to give everybody, certainly you're going to have amongst that group people who are truly deserving. Rabbeinu Yehuda HaChassid says, to give to somebody who doesn't deserve is a waste. So then investigate who really is deserving. Give those causes significant amounts, and the other causes don't give. One final vart on this piece of Gemara is a beautiful vart from the Kedushas Tzion. We actually quoted that the Bnei Yisachar quotes the Balatanya, who says that even though we learned that the Gemara says that a person shouldn't give away more than 20% for tzedakah, but if a person does an Aveira, the way he can have his Aveira forgiven is by giving tzedakah. The pasuk says, V'chato'echa b'tzedakah peroik, says the Kedushat Tzion. Bar v'nachzik toiv l'ramayim. We owe the people who are dishonest and collect tzedakah a big thank you. Shemalehe, if not for them, hayinu chaitim b'chol yoyim, a person would do an aveira every day. What would the person think? I'll do an aveira. I have trouble, I did an aveira. I'll give tzedakah, my aveira will be forgiven. But now that we recognize that there are people who are dishonest, so giving tzedakah to somebody who's dishonest is not tzedakah. So I can't be comfortable in doing an aveira, because I don't have the tzedakah to forgive me. Says the Gemara. B'tani Rav Chiba Rav Mirdifti, Rav Shuv Ben Karcha Oima, Kol Amalam Enam Min Tzedakah. Somebody who ignores giving tzedakah, Kil Oivet Avad Tzedakah. It's considered like he worshipped Avodah Zarah. K'siv hacha, hisham l'chapanyeh dovem levavcha b'liyal. V'k'siv hasam, yotzu anoshim b'ni'al. Ma'ala halon, speaking about Avodah Kachavim, af kan Avodah Kachavim, it refers to somebody Avodah Zarah. And the Mefarshim go many pshatim. What is the connection between not giving tzedakah and avodah zarah? One pshat, simple pshat, is that a person who doesn't give tzedakah is essentially saying, I believe that everything I have is mine. He doesn't believe that it's really Hashem's, which is the beginning of avodah zarah. Another pshat is, what is giving tzedakah to a fellow Jew all about? We recognize that we're all one family and we have to help each other out. If a person doesn't accept the concept that all of us, all of Klal Yisrael is one family, it's as if he doesn't believe in Hashem. As we say in the Shemoneh Esrei, Shabbos Mincha, Ato Echad, V'Shimcha Echad, Amikamcha Yisrael, Goy Echad. So just like there's a concept of Achdus Hashem, there's an Achdus of Klal Yisrael, which are connected. And if we don't give tzedakah, that means we don't believe in Achdus of Hashem and Achdus of Klal Yisrael. Another pshat along the same lines, there's the famous statement of Rabbi Akiva, who said to Transpurnus HaRosha, that when one gives tzedakah, it's like taking care of a Kadosh Baruch Hu's children. So if you don't give tzedakah, you're not accepting that we are God's children. And that is avodah zarah. Two more pshatim. One more pshat is that if somebody doesn't give tzedakah, it comes from gaiva. It comes from being arrogant. I'm not going to give tzedakah. I'm not going to be bothered with this poor individual. And we know that HaKadosh Baruch Hu cannot coexist with gaiva, with arrogance. So whoever doesn't give tzedakah is as if he's over avodah kachavim. Another final pshat that I saw from the Divrei Chaim. Divrei Chaim says as follows. If there's unfortunately a person who's very poor, and he comes to collect tzedakah, so he already has his own questions in Amuna. He was put into such a bad place. If on top of that, we won't give him support, he may turn away from Hashem. Kol amalam einam in a tzedakah. Whoever doesn't give tzedakah is kil oivrevis kachavim. We're causing this poor person to chas v'shalom perhaps become oivir avodis kachavim, and the sin is on our shoulders that we push that person to that way. Continues the Gemara. Tan Rabbanan, hamsanes einoy. Somebody who pretends that he's blind, mitzavis bitnoy, or he pretends that he's hungry, v'mekapecha shoykoy, or he pretends that he's limp, just be able to get more tzedakah that he doesn't deserve, einan niftim in oilam, he doesn't leave this world, at shiavol dekach, until he actually suffers this. So I saw two pshatim in this Gemara. Why? Fascinating pshatim. One pshat is as follows. We know, mit Hashem bekarav, there's going to be tchiyas hameisim. The Medrash says that when there's going to be tchiyas hameisim, how will we be able to recognize that it was this person that died that got up? So the Medrash says that when tchiyas hameisim will come, everybody will get up the way they were when they passed away. And then afterwards, so if the person had any disease or any deformity, he'll come up, get up that way, and then HaKadosh Baruch Hu will heal everybody. So now, let's say we'll have a person who really isn't limp, but he was faking that he has this deformity. So now, when he gets up, how will he get up? If he gets up without the limp, because he never really had this deformity, people say it's not really him. So what does Hashem do? Hashem will make sure that he has this deformity, so when he gets up, everybody will be able to recognize that it's him. Another pshat that I saw, fascinating pshat. Actually, when we see people who are sick and have other deformities, it causes us to have questions. It causes us to have questions. Tzadik v'raloi, why did HaKadosh Baruch Hu create this? There are no questions. HaKadosh Baruch Hu knows what he's doing. But we, human beings, with our limited intellect, have questions. Every person in the world that's sick, that has a deformity, is another reason that some people will ask questions. But that's the way it is. But now you have a person who really is, Baruch Hashem, not sick. And he acts as if he is. So he causes that people should have more questions on God. There are already enough questions. There are already enough problems. That person who caused us to have questions on God deserves to be punished. Continues the Gemara. If somebody takes tzedakah and he doesn't really require it, doesn't leave the world until he does have to take tzedakah. Says the Gemara, Tanan Hosam, there's a Mishnah Masech to pay you. A person is not obligated to sell his home and his furniture to just to avoid taking tzedakah. Ask the Gemara, V'loi, V'atanya, Hai Mishtanj B'klizov, if somebody was using gold vessels, Yishtav B'kli Kesef, he should sell them and use silver. B'kli Kesef, Yishtav B'kli Nechashis, so we see you do have to sell. Answers the Gemara, Amar Azvid Lo Kasha. Ha b'mita v'shulchan. Furniture, you have to sell to avoid taking tzedakah. Ha b'kaisav v'karois, dishes, glasses, you don't have to sell. Ask the Gemara, Maishno kaisav v'karois loy, why does a person not have to sell his expensive cutlery? Dama misili, he, as we've been learning, is used to a certain standard, and he could say, I can't live with a lower standard. Ask the Gemara Mitav Shulchanami to say the same thing about furniture. He should say, I'm used to having fancy furniture. I can't live without it. Mitav Shulchanami Amar Loi Mikabli Alai. I can't live with a lower standard of furniture. So why do we make him sell the furniture? Amar Rava Berei De Rava B'Machrisha De Kaspa. There are certain items that are totally extravagant. What is that? A Machrisha De Kaspa. Machlokes Rishonim, how to define a Machrisha De Kaspa. Some say means a plow, to plow the earth made out of silver. Certainly nobody needs a silver plow. Others say Machrisha means a back scratcher, that has a silver back scratcher. That is certainly extravagance that nobody requires, and better to sell it than to take tzedakah. Rapapa Maloy Kasha. Kan Kodim Shiova Ladei Gibui, Kan La'acha Shiova Ladei Gibui. So as Rashi explains this Gemara, Rashi says as follows. If when the person collected tzedakah, he really met the criteria of being entitled to tzedakah, even if afterwards, Baruch Hashem, he's above, he doesn't have to give back or sell to pay back the tzedakah. But if on the other hand, when the person took tzedakah, he had no right to take tzedakah, because he was above the poverty line, so to speak, then that tzedakah that he took, he has to return. That's how Rashi explains. Tosfos goes on to explain that there were two types of tzedakah. There was the kupas tzedakah, the communal tzedakah fund, and there was leket shechopeya, that fell, the different types of matanas aniyim from the produce. Says Tosfos, kupa tzedakah, somebody who takes money from a tzedakah charity fund that is not deserving has to give back and sell his furniture. On the other hand, somebody who takes leket shechopeya were more lenient, because really that is hefker. And since it's hefker, we're more lenient and we won't make the person sell even if he took it illegally. Says the Mishnah, Yusayim Shesia Ima Achel, a Yusayim that was married off by a mother or brothers. And as the Rishonim explained, we're speaking about a katana. So her mother or brothers married her off. It's a Kedusha de Rabbanan. Midata. So as the Rishonim explained, she consented to the marriage. And the Kosvalo, and they wrote for her, Meya or Chamishim Zuz, a very meager Nadin, 150 Zuz. Yecholhi Mishit Hagdol, when she becomes an adult, she could say, I was given less than I deserve. We'll soon speak in the Mishnah in a moment what she deserves. And at that point, she could claim what she deserves. A few interesting points. The Rishonim say that even if she agreed to the marriage, agreeing to the marriage doesn't necessarily mean she agreed to the Nadin. Although there's a Machlokes Rishonim, what happens if the girl is already in the age of a Pu'utais? She's already closer to a bas mitzvah. The Deir Gemara says many times, mecha memchar, memkem, memkar mecher, they do have some intelligence and are able to affect business transactions. So some Rishonim say that we're referring to a girl who's younger than that. Others say that they're able to sell and buy, but their mechilot, that we should say that they forgave something, that is never effective. Then the Mefarshim say, Why does the Mishnah have to say that she only got 100 or 50, and then when she becomes a gedola, she could complain? If she could complain on 100, she certainly could complain on 50. Why does the Mishnah have to say 50? So I saw a very nice teretz. Even though she can complain, and her complaint is listened to, as we will learn in the Gemara, it's only after she becomes a gedola. So perhaps we'll say that she got so little. She only got 50. As we've been learning, 50 is the minimum. So she maybe could complain even when she's a katana. Teaches us the Mishnah that even if she got so little, just chamishim, and she certainly has a right to complain, she only could complain when she becomes a gedola. Now there's an interesting machloikas rishonim. What would be the halacha? At what point can she complain? The Meiri says she has to complain as soon as she becomes a gedola. If she became a gedola and didn't say anything, and then years later she reminds herself to complain, to protest, it's too late. Most rishonim, the Rashba and the Ritva, disagree. She has a right to protest later on. And not only that, the Ritva says a very nice pshat. He says once she becomes a gedola and she's a nesua, it's not really her protest anymore. Because that money is not money that's going to her, it's money going to the husband. So when her complaint or protesting is really not even a factor anymore, now it's the husband who felt that he deserves this natan and didn't receive it. Continues the Mishnah. So now the question that the Mishnah and the Gemara we're going to learn now is going to discuss is, let's say a girl doesn't have a father. So how do we know how much to give? Rav Yehuda Omer, in Messias Abasa Rishayna, if the father married off the first daughter before he passed away, we give the second daughter as much, we use that formula for the second daughter. And we have here a fundamental machlaikis, Rashi and Taisus. Rashi says, whatever formula the father followed for the first child, that's the formula we follow for the second child. Taisus says we follow the formula, but only for less, not for more. Taisus says that even if we follow the father's formula, it's only that we never give more than 10%. And if the father passed away, and his first daughter he gave more than 10%, the second daughter can never get more than 10% if he's not here. Sometimes the person was poor and got wealthy. He was wealthy and became poor. And as Rashi and Taisus explain, according to Chacham, we always give 10% under all circumstances. When it comes to give a nadin, we try to evaluate what the father would have given. Ask the Gemara, Meisvei, it says in the Braisa, Habonos Nizoinos, or Mespanosos, Menichseavim, the children are supported from the father's estate. Ketzit. Ein Oimrim, says the Braisa explicitly, we do not say, Ilu Avir Kayim, where the father's still alive. Kach v'kach chayin noisen lo. He certainly would have given this much. El Shamnas Nechosim v'noisen lo. We look at the estate, and we give it 10%. My laugh, Panosas Abal. The Braisa is telling us that we always give 10%. So how could Shmuel say that we start evaluating the father's intentions? Amrav Nachma Yitzchak Loi. The Braisa here is referring b'fanosas atzmai. We're not referring to nadin. We're referring to support. Ask the Gemara. The Braisa says hanazoinus umespanosos ktani. The Braisa is speaking both about support and nadin. My laugh, doesn't the Braisa mean achas panosas abal? One is nadin. One is her support. And the Braisa is telling us that there's a strict formula and we don't start assessing what the father would have done. Answers the Gemara Loi. The Braisa is referring only to support. One is food, and one is clothing. But regarding nadin, the Braisa is not talking about that, and Shmuel could be correct. For nadin, we try to evaluate what the father's intentions were, and how do we evaluate it? Either we look at past experience, as the Mishnah said, or we try people who knew the father and knew how he and his family lived. That's what we could use as a barometer. Ask the Gemara, Tanan, it says in the Mishnah, V'cham Amrim, Sometimes a person by the first wedding was poor, and then Baruch Hashem he got wealthier, or vice versa. So how can we follow what he did previously? Therefore, Chum hold, El Shama Nechasim, we evaluate the estate, V'noisenli, and we give her 10%. Ask the Gemara, what did the Chum mean? My Ani, my Osher. What did it mean? He was poor and got wealthy, or vice versa. Inami Ani ben Nechasim, Ani means that he was poor, financially poor. Osher ben Nechasim, and wealthy means Baruch Shem, he was wealthy. Mechlal, if that's how we're going to explain the Chachamim, that sometimes people's financial status changes, Mechlal, the Tanakam who's arguing on the Chachamim, will hold a feel Osher v'heni, the Tanakam who argues on the Chachamim will hold, that even if a person was wealthy, and then he lost his money, can Mekari Yavinallah, will the Tanakama hold that we still give the same amount? Halesle! He doesn't have the same amount of money. How could you expect him to live on the same standard? Elaf, what does the Mishnah mean? Ani Bedas. Osher Bedas. What it means is sometimes people's attitude change. By the first daughter they were generous, and then they get not so generous. Or vice versa. V'ktani, and that's why the Chachamim hold, Shom es nechosim v'noisenlah. We give, because we can't use past performance as a barometer, we always give 10%. Alma lo yezlin bas umdana. And we don't start trying to figure out what the father would have done. Alma lo yezlin bas umdana. V'tiyuf to the Shmuel. Who says that we do? Answers the Gemara, Hudam k'rab Yehuda. Shmuel doesn't hold like the Chachamim, he holds like Rabbi Yehuda. The Tanan, as we learned in our Mishnah, Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Im Hesiyah Bas Rishayna, if he married off one daughter, Yinasun L'Shniya K'derech Shinasun Rishayna. He gives the second daughter, we follow that formula. Says the Gemara, if that's what Shmuel meant, so name Allah Rabbi Yehuda. He should have just said explicitly that he agrees with Rabbi Yehuda. Answers the Gemara, E Omer Allah Rabbi Yehuda, had Shmuel just said Allah Rabbi Yehuda, have a mina, I would think, Dafki Siya. What could prove a father's intention? Where he actually married off a first daughter. The girlie died this. So we know clearly, without any question, what he did. Avaloy Siya. Maybe he never married anyone off. So there may be Shmuel, maybe Yehuda, who will agree that we don't try to figure out what he would have done. And there we follow the 10% formula. Kamashmon, that's what Shmuel is coming to teach us. The Talmud of Yehuda, what is the reasoning of Rabbi Yehuda's psak? Does lean and basa umdana? We always try to figure out what the father would have done. Loishtasiya, certainly, if he would have married her off, that we have a clear way of deciding. And even loishtasiya, if he never married anyone off, we could still try to figure out what he would have done. So ask the Gemara, if Rabbi Yehuda is saying we always try to figure what the father would have done, even if we don't have any past experience to base our findings on, so why didn't the Mishnah tell us that example? Answers the Gemara, why did the Mishnah speak about the case where he already made a wedding? The Mishnah wants to show us how far the Rabbanim disagree. The Afagav they see. This father already made a wedding. The Goli Daiti, so we know what he did. So certainly maybe the Rabbanim should agree that we should just copy at the second wedding what he did by the first wedding. Teaches us the Rabbanim, Leizlin Bas Umdana, one wedding isn't the proof to the next wedding. Amrei Rav Lav Chizda. So Rav said to Rav Chizda, Dashina Meshimcha, people say in your name, Halach Rabbi Yehuda, that Halach Rabbi Yehuda. Amrei so responded, Yehi Rava Kokol Kehani Mili Malyasa, Halavai, all such wonderful things to Drosh Mishmoy should be said in my name. Yes, I certainly agree with Rabbi Yehuda. Ask the Gemara, Omi Amar Rava Hochi, the Rava really agree with Rabbi Yehuda's opinion. Vatani Rabbi Omer, Rabbi said, Bas Hanazoinis Min Hachim, a daughter that's being supported from her brothers. Her father passed away. Noitalis Isa Nechasim, her Nadnis 10%. Vama Rava, and Rava says, Hilchasuk Rabbi. So how can we say that Rava agrees with Rabbi Yehuda? That we try to understand what the father would have done. Here it says clearly that Rava follows the 10% rule. And so tomorrow, like Kasha. Hada Midnight. Even Rabbi Yehuda, even Shmuel, even Rava will agree that we only could follow what we think the father would have done if we have a way to make that calculation. But in a case where we have nothing to base any decision on, they too will agree that we give 10%. Hachanan Mestabra, Donor of Adabar Hava, Maisav Nosan Rebbe Echmishtem Osub Nechasim. Rebbe once gave a Kala, who was a Yosaima, a 12th. We just learned that Rebbe says 10%. So how do you give only a 12th? Kasha Adadi, Allah Shemamin Ahadam Midnei, where we could determine, we give what our determination is. Hadalaya Midnei, that's when we give 10%. Gufa, Amar Rebbe, Bas Hanazonis Min Achim, a girl that's being supported by her brothers, they tell us, Isu Nechasim. She takes 10%. Ask the Gemara, Amalei Rebbe. So they said to Rebbe, Lid Varecha, according to what you just taught us, Mishiesh Layasabonais, if somebody died and he left 10 daughters, or Ben and a son, Enle Leben Mamakam Vanis Klum, each daughter will take 10%. 10 times 10 equal 100. And the son, who's the Yairish Midaraisa, will end up with nothing. Amalehem, he says, you didn't understand what I meant. Kachani Oima. Rishon and they tell us Isa Nechasim. The first daughter takes 10%. So let's say we start with 100. So she takes 10%. So we're down to 90. The second one, Shnia, the Mashashira, takes 10% of the 90. So she only gets 9. And so on. The Shlishi B'Shemaira. And that's why the son will have left. And then, however, says the Gemara, the Chazrois V'Chalkus B'Shava. We take this amount, could do the math, and this amount is divided between all 10 daughters, and then the rest goes to the son. Everybody should take their own share. Why should they divide it? Answers the Gemara, Hachikama. If all the 10 daughters are getting married at the same time, then they'll get this, they will take this amount and divide it equally between 10. But if, let's say, the first daughter gets married first, she'll get 10%. The second daughter will get less, and so on and so on. As Tysus, it's still not fair. Why is the first daughter, if we think about it, when we go from the first daughter to the 10th daughter, there's going to be a very significant disparity. So why is the first daughter deserving so much larger of a nadin than the 10th daughter? So Tysus has a chiddush. Taisha says a parent, a father, typically is more generous with the first daughter than with the last daughter. And therefore, by the first daughter, he's going to be more generous and give a bigger nadin. And by the last daughter, he doesn't have as much, and that's why he can't give as much. Masala the Rav Masna, the Dom Rav Nasna, in Baal and Nasa Kulam Ka'achas, if they're all getting married at the same time, noitlus isur echad, they take 1/10%. Ask the Gemara, isur echad sakadaitach, they only get 10%. Elu noitlus isur echad, they all take the amount that they're deserving and divide it equally amongst themselves. Again, but that's only under the condition that they get married at the same time. But if they get married one after the other, each girl will get less and less and less. Says the Braisa, Tana Rabbanan, Habonois, the daughters, Bain Bagru Achlai Nesu, if they became a Begaris before the Nesuin, or Bain Nesu Achlai Bagru, or if they got Nesuin and then they become Begaris, the Loch is, Ivdu Mezonesayim, they lose the responsibility of support, as we've been learning, either if the girl is a Begaris, or if the girl is a Nesua, she no longer gets supported from the estate. And Tysus points out, a little Chazara, that we learned on Daf Nun Gimel, that according to Rav, they lose the support already when they become Mureses. Al Braisa clearly tells us that it's only by Nesuin, not by Erisin. But they don't lose their right to the Nadin. Divrei Rebbe. Rav Shimon Alozoimer, Af Ivdu Parnasosin. Once the girl becomes a Bulgaris, the right to receive the Nadin, she also loses. Kate said in Isis, so what should I do? Sarchan lais balim, or maitzin lahem penasasin. So the two pshatim, both are not so easy to understand. I guess that's why we have two pshatim. The Risha says, a girl sees that the clock is ticking. She's going to become a Bogeris. And according to Rav Shimon Elazar, once she becomes a Bogeris, she loses her nadin. And actually, according to Shimon Loza, the halacha is once she's a bogeres, she loses a nadin. And also, if she was a nara and did not claim her nadin, and then wants to ask for it later, it's too late. The only thing Rav Shimon will agree to, the only thing Rav Shimon Loza will agree to is on the din we learned in the Mishnah about a ketana. So what should she do? So the Rosh Hashanah says pshat, she should do a fictitious marriage. Sarchas Balaim, she should do a fictitious marriage, so like that she should be able to collect, which is a very difficult pshat, because it's not honest. So most Mepharshim say pshat is as follows. She should go and make herself attractive to a man. How will she make herself attractive to a man? She'll say she's going to give a very big nadin. If a girl says she has a very big nadin, she's more likely to be able to find a husband. Sarichus Baleim, she should go and, so to speak, hire a husband, so she should be able to collect a nadin before it expires. Amar of Nachman, Amar Lihuna, Hilchasa Karebi. The halacha is, like Rebbe, that once she's, even if she becomes a bogeres, she doesn't lose her nadin. Eisvei Rav L'Rav Nachman asks Rav to Rav Nachman, we learned in our Mishnah, Yisoyma, she siyasa ima achecha midato, a girl who's a ketana, and got married with her own consent, the kosvelo, and her family wrote her this meager nadin. When she becomes a gdaila, she could lahaitse miyadan. She could complain. She could say, I didn't get what I deserved. What do we see from our Mishnah? Tama, the ketana. Only because she's a ketana when she got married, does she have a right to make this complaint. Her ketana, her gdaila, it seems in our Mishnah, we're seeing that if she got married as a gedola, fitra, she has no right. So what are you saying that according to Rebbe, even if she's a bogeris when she got married, she still has a right? Answers the Gemara like Kasha. Ha de mechoy, ha de la mechoy. If when this the Rebbe said that she has a right to keep on collecting, is that she complained, she protested. So therefore, she gets the money. If she didn't protest, and then she wakes up, she became a begaris, and she got married, and then she decides to protest, it's too late. Says Gemara, that there's a difference if she protested or not. Dim kain kasha the Rebbe the Rabbi. Because if we're not going to say this, we would have a steer in Rebbe. The Tanya, on one brice it says, Rebbe Oimer, bas hanazonis min achim, a daughter that's supported from the estate, no tell us, is in the chosim. She gets 10%. So we see Nzoinus in, Shein and Nzoinus Loi. What's the difference? El Shmamino, Had Mechoi, Had Loi Mechoi. If she protested, she deserves it. She doesn't, she doesn't. Amalei Revira LeRava. Amalon Rav Adabar Hava Meshemcha. We heard from Rav Adabar Hava in your name. Bagra, when she's a Bagra, Einet Tzricha Limchis. Even if she became a Begera, she still doesn't have to protest. Nisus, Einet Tzricha Limchis. If she got married, she doesn't have to protest. Bogvanissus, if she became a bogeris and also had nesuin, then that loch is tzricha limchais. Ask the Gemara, mi amar Rav Hochi, that she doesn't have to complain. Ve'esa Ravler of Nachman, then we just learned the question that Rav posed to Rav Nachman from Yisoyma, v'shani lahad machi, had lai machi, and he drew a distinction if she protested or not. So why, how could you say she doesn't have to protest? Answers the Gemara, if she's being supported from the brothers, she doesn't have to protest. Why doesn't she have to protest? Because we could assume that she really wanted to protest. Why didn't she protest? Because she's embarrassed. Here her brothers are supporting her, and she's going to protest that she wasn't treated properly. So we could self-understand that she wanted to protest, and she didn't because of this problem, and we assume that she really wants to protest. However, in a case where she's not being supported from the brothers, so there's nothing preventing her from protesting. And if she didn't protest, it means that she didn't have a complaint. Then later, she wants to complain, it's too late.